Well, good evening. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce ourselves, Mark and Joanne Landon. We thank the Lord for the many years of missionary service that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of there in Scotland. 36 years ago, my wife, as a young college graduate, set out trying to share the burden in which God had given to her. As a young woman, she had felt called to the mission field, and in those days, it was a lot of pastors, a lot of churches were a little bit reluctant to send women out onto the mission field there. A lot of churches preferred to send families out to the field. She had a burden. She believed that God had called her to serve in the missionary capacity. And so she set out across the state of Michigan in an old pickup truck, trying to go to church to church, trying to share that burden. The spiritual need of Scotland. And after all these many years, we thank the Lord that not only was she be able to serve there in Scotland, but I met her there on a summer mission team. I had served on a number of different mission teams, and I had had contacted the pastor there in Edinburgh, and the missionary pastor, and asked him if I could come as a student and to work with his church over the summer. And he graciously agreed, and I went to Edinburgh, and Joanne was working at that church at that time. And it wasn't until the very last week of the summer that I began to feel any kind of emotional connection there, and I asked her if she'd like to go out on a date. And so we had one date, and then the rest of our getting acquainted was through letters and phone calls. And as she finished off the last year of her term, I finished off my schooling and was working in a church internship program up in Detroit. Originally, I'm from Western Colorado, and my wife grew up in the Thumb area on a small dairy farm in the state of Michigan there. We have two children. My son and his wife teach at Wixom Christian School, and we're blessed there that for the way in which the Lord is using them there. And presently, my daughter's in London, and our family dog has passed away. And so pretty much that is a small introduction to our family. But what a great joy and blessing it has been for us to serve the Lord in the capacity of missions. I'm often reminded on Sunday mornings, sometimes it's through the years we have ministered to many different small groups of people. But I am reminded oftentimes on a Sunday morning that there will be in great cathedrals and churches in different places of the world where people will gather to worship God in the hundreds and even in the thousands. But I'm encouraged by the fact that even there in the ones and twos and in the small gatherings of people, that is the same God there that meets with us. And in our community there in Climaston, Edinburgh, the capital city there, our church people need a church to attend and to serve out of. And our community needs a witness to be able to try to share the truth of Jesus Christ with those who are not saved. And so that often encourages my heart to know that God is with us, even though that in our weakness that the Lord is there and strengthening us and encouraging us and being our God. And what a joy that is. I want to share our presentation at this time, and then afterward, my wife's going to come and share some with you, and then I would like to have the rest of this evening to be able to give you a short challenge. Thank you. The Word of God says that we are to go and make disciples of every nation. In fulfilling the Great Commission, we are to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ungodly, the unwanted, the undesirable. And to every sinner who knows nothing about the wonderful, transforming grace of God. While on furlough, missionaries meet with their mission board home office, give a report to their sending churches and supporters, and raise needed prayer and financial support. Also, it's a good time to challenge young people towards missionary service. This stateside ministry is important. Therefore, Joanne and I would appreciate your prayers. Why do we evangelize? We share our faith with others because Jesus Christ has commanded and commissioned his people to do so. Another reason is that people need to find forgiveness of sin and eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." As Christian people, our awareness that family, friends, and strangers will otherwise be eternally separated from God motivates us to proclaim the hope, the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to serve the Lord on the mission field. My wife and I over these many years have never lost the sense of this privilege, and on many occasions, we have thanked God for being able to serve in such a spiritually needy place. Today, Scotland is a country that has forsaken its religious heritage. The influence of the Reformation has given way to a counter-reformation, atheism, modern paganism, and New Age beliefs. While Christianity is increasingly being marginalized, the religion of Islam is sweeping across Europe and the United Kingdom. Its ambitious and assertive beliefs are changing the political and religious makeup of the country. It is estimated that in Britain, Islamic mosques host more worshippers each week than the combined attendance of the churches in England and Scotland. If this continues at the present rate, cathedrals and churches will appear as vestiges of a civilization of times past. For years, we have seen a decline of ecumenical Christianity. But who could have guessed that it would be overshadowed by a new transnational Muslim identity? John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let me share with you what we have seen the Lord do these last 4 years. We praise God that He's allowed us to minister to Bible Club children, students, families, widows, and nursing home residents. I also find myself called upon to give funerals or to give counseling to those with various spiritual needs. We also have a men's tract distribution outreach and ladies' Bible studies.
Thousands of deep and wide, through the darkness of God's mercy, Lord,
Scotland. It is a country of great spiritual need. But despite the wickedness of mankind, the Great Commission has not changed. We are to take the gospel into all the world, even to those who are hardened in heart against God.
Lay up your treasures in heaven, O people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, go on and lay up the treasures in heaven. Oh, people, lay up the treasures in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forever, evermore.
I'd like to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. We've had a wonderful time with Jonathan and Andrea Ellen. We thank the Lord for their kind hospitality. You saw our presentation. Behind every face is a story. And those stories are very humbling. And I'd like to just share a couple of those today with you. I remember I was praying that the Lord would send us a piano player. When you have people that come to your church who do not know the difference between a Bible and a hymn book, and we very patiently try to find the place for them, I can remember thinking, Lord, it would be so much easier to teach them tunes if somebody was more musical than my husband and I. We aren't gifted that way. And a girl came through our church door who was looking for a gospel preaching church. She traveled an hour and 40 minutes one way to get there, taking two buses. And she ended up being our church piano player, and you saw her there. She was a student from Singapore. And I praise the Lord for her. She was a great blessing to our church. She had played for her church back in Singapore, and she could play any song in the hymn book beautifully. And when she graduated, her parents came from Singapore, and they came out to our church and to our home for meals. And we found out that her father worked for the underground church in China. So that was very amazing. And then you saw the Malaysian medical student. They don't celebrate Christmas, so several times we've hosted different students over the holidays. And in Malaysia, they're Buddhists. But we had a wonderful opportunity to witness to him, and then he came back in the spring and saw us again. And there was another couple that you saw in our presentation, and they had met at the University of St. Andrews, and they got married, and they went out to a teaching job to teach English in Kazakhstan. And they ended up having some vacation time, and they came back to our church because they said we'd like to have our baby dedication there. So that was amazing. Sometimes you go to Edinburgh thinking you're going to reach the Scottish people, and then with all our open borders in Europe now, God sends people from all different nationalities. And the last story I'd like to tell you about, which all these stories are just in answer to God's prayers, faithful people who uphold us. There was a couple who came to our church from another city. They had been many years away from God, and they lost a 22-year-old daughter from epilepsy. And they decided through that it was a wake-up call that they needed to get back in church. And when they came to our church, they gave a testimony, and the man said, "I'm thankful to be back in God's house, and I'm even witnessing at my work now." And his wife gave a testimony, and she said she was going through her daughter's papers after her daughter died. Now, her daughter was in church, and she said, "I was reading her prayer request list, and on that list was that my parents will get back in church." So we praise the Lord. We feel very humbled who God sends across our path. Sometimes when you go to the mission field, you feel like you're just a drop of truth in an ocean of error. But praise God, our God is powerful, and he can work with the ones and twos. And we praise God for what he's doing. We're excited about going back next month, and we do cover your prayers. I'd like to encourage you to take a prayer card. I've written several books. If you'd like to read about missions, missionary stories, or church history, they're there for you to enjoy if you're interested in that. And we praise God for who he is and what he does.
Joanne had mentioned Theophile, the Singaporean girl that a student had that had come out to our services there for a year or so. But this past term also, we had 18 foreign students come out from 8 different countries. Edinburgh is a capital city. It is a university city. And occasionally we get students that come out to our services for a period of time. People that are transferred into the city are there for a number of months and then go. And so through over the years, our small congregation has gone up and down with different congregations, small congregations. And I have to honestly admit, when I first went to Scotland, it was having a sense that God had called us into missions, and our heart's desire was to see souls saved and to see churches planted. And really, over the years, it was not so much how we changed Scotland, but it's how Scotland changed us. And as we began to be busy in the Lord's work and to try to witness and try to see a church established and started, we were confronted with the great indifference, the great rejection of the gospel. And through the years, we praise God that despite the hardness of people's heart, the Lord has always given us some fruit for our labor. And we've met many wonderful Christian people. We've been blessed by their friendship. We've been exhorted by their testimony. Joanne had mentioned Theophile had come for an hour and a half. They're taking 2 buses to get to church. We had another man that rode his bike 5 miles one way to get to church. And one of the men of our church, he was a retired science teacher. He had gone to a an evangelistic outreach, and the evangelist that evening had given an appeal that if the men would, 50 men would stand that evening, that they could evangelize Edinburgh with gospel tracts. And not one man stood that evening. And he gave the appeal, and no one responded. And sometime after that, he was moved by his unwillingness to stand and to try to seek to be a witness for the Lord. And this past term, right before we came back, Mr. Bell passed away. And but before he did, he had passed out 90,000 gospel tracts, trying to be a witness, trying to share his faith, trying to be a light in a spiritually darkened world. But he wanted to make a difference. He wanted his life to try to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always think that that's all of us can take that admonishment in different ways. There's always something we can do. We can always pray. God in his providence places us in unique circumstances, and we are to be a witness wherever God would have us to live and to work, and realize that life is for service, and we are first to be a speaking to someone here just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we were speaking about the things of the Lord, and in our discussion there, we were recalling the fact, you know, we're here to be first a Christian farmer, you know, Christian mechanic, Christian whatever your vocation is. Serving Christ comes first, and everything in our life evolves around that as we serve the Lord. And I guess as we look back over our years of missionary service, through all the trials and the difficulties and the sacrifices and all the blessings and the joys and the very bottom line of all that we could say is that God is faithful. And what a testimony that that is. Nothing of ourselves, but in all circumstances and in every trial of life, God has been so gracious and so faithful. And that's the great joy of missionary service. There, following the call that God has given to you there, and being able to share that wonderful truth of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as we go back in September, we would like to say that as we step back into the country, that we could take great blessing and joy, knowing that there were many years of churches being built and camps being established and other outreaches in the Lord's service there. But as we go back where the work is harder now than it has ever been. And Scotland continues to remain a terribly spiritually hard country. But yet, what a blessing it is to see the grace of God change a person's life. And if it was but one soul, what value would we place upon our own soul? We know that there could be no monetary value that we could place upon it. And the Lord is so exceptionally graceful and loving that yet he still extends an invitation. He still is there working yet in Scotland, where many have just simply set God aside and have no place for him. I want to share just one other thought. One of the ladies of our church, Margaret, she had given her testimony one evening, and she said, "I would like to say that I came to God because I loved God, but that was not the case." She said, "I came to God because I needed God, and then I came to love God." And as we walk with the Lord through our years, isn't it a wonderful thing that our love for God deepens? And I used to years ago hear elderly saints that, you know, they couldn't wait as eternity was approaching, that they knew that they were soon going to be in the presence of their masters. And our love for the Lord deepens over the years, and what a blessing that is. I do want to share some thoughts here just quickly here this evening. This is not really a preaching message, but I would like to share some thoughts here that I wanted to give as we came back to the States here. On this furlough here. I wanted to share them here with you this evening. I was going to just give a short word of prayer, which I'll go ahead and do that. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray now that you'd help us to set the thoughts of this evening aside now and just, Lord, put our mind upon Thee. We give Thee thanks, Lord, for the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee that as Thy people that we can share our faith and seek to tell others about what Christ has done for us. And we give Thee thanks now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Why are people so comfortable in their disbelief? I've asked myself that question on a number of occasions, and at times it has left my spirit unsettled when I have thought about how hardened people are to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is that question that I would like for us to quickly ask ourselves this evening. Why are people so comfortable in their disbelief? In Scotland and in Western Europe, of course, atheism, humanism, socialism, communism, and materialism has so gripped the hearts and minds of people that they just don't see their need of God. When they think of God, they do so with disbelief and scorn and ridicule. And so these are some of the attitudes that they have there towards the Gospels. And of course, as we witness, we come across many atheists, agnostics, and others who just simply hate the very thought of God. When we knock on doors and go around and seek to invite people to church, we'll meet those that will curse the very name of God. Others will ridicule and despise the things of God. And I'm sure here in your community that as you seek to share the truth of Jesus Christ, that you'll get a different response to your witness. Maybe some will respond with indifference. Others will be religious but will be lost. And others will have no place for the house of God or the thoughts of God. And their response should not be surprising to us, because the Bible says here that wicked men will have contempt for God. And they will reject God. Psalms chapter 53, verse 1 says that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. And as we witness and as we seek to share our faith, we come across those that they have no fear of God before their eyes. They have no reverence towards God, no love towards the house of God. And they despise the things of God, and they live as if there is no God. And yet the Bible says that they are a fool and that they reject God. They reject the righteousness of God because they're lovers of darkness rather than light. They love their sin. And so instead of turning to a righteous God, they continue to rebel and to reject God's holiness there. But yet they love their sins as their hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In Scotland, less than 2% of the population attend any kind of church at all. And as we read back in church history and we see how the Church of Scotland had sent out many missionaries and many great Bible teachers and preachers and evangelists here that have been raised up in the country and have gone out and they have served the greater church in Canada and America and New Zealand and Australia. And they have written, they have many of them have had a great ministry through literature, and they have been faithful servants of God to the broader extent outside of the country. But today, Scotland is a land of great spiritual need where such a small percentage of the people attend any kind of church at all. In our slide presentation, I had mentioned that we had begun to see the decline of the ecumenical movement. And what I meant by that is that whether it be the Protestant church or the Catholic church or whatever denomination, the church as an institution is being abandoned across the country. People have no love for the house of God. And we see that the church and marriage and much of the strength that is necessary for the fabric of our society is being weakened. And I had mentioned there that throughout the week that it is estimated that more Muslims attend the mosque of the week than estimated between the number of people between the church in England and Scotland. And why I said that is that because Muslims come to the mosque more than just worship. They come there to, as a community, they come to get support. So they'll have support groups. They will come where they can. So they'll have speakers that will tell them how to get housing and other benefits, government benefits. And so the mosque plays an important role within the Islamic faith there. And they gather throughout the week, throughout their services, as a community and for their worship services there. And, of course, with Sharia law, for over a decade, we've had Sharia law in Great Britain. I'm under Westminster law. As a British citizen, my wife and I became naturalized citizens about 8 years ago. But I'm under a Westminster law, their law that is passed through the House of Parliaments. But if I was a Muslim, I could appeal to Sharia law. And as you're probably aware, that throughout Europe, of course, with the modern scourge of terrorism, that Europe is facing a great challenge here within the years ahead with trying to deal with the influence of Islam throughout Europe. And missionaries that are serving in Europe and, of course, everywhere else in the world will ever be increasingly more and more in danger. We've seen in Britain, we've seen Christianity seeking to be whitewashed out of society. Monuments, museum exhibitions, road names in history books. Progressive secularists are trying to just whitewash Christianity out of history. And so we see that in Scotland today that the things of God are irrelevant and unimportant and rejected there by many there. Right before I came back to the States, I was reading a religious survey that I had come across, and it was mentioning that most British people rejected religion and looked upon it as causing more problems and more harm in society than good, and that it had caused many psychological harms within the society. And in this survey, it went on to say that religion promotes tribalism as it divides people. It creates sectarian fault lines. Religion anchors believers to an iron age, an age of ignorance, inequality, racism, and violence. Religion makes a virtue out of faith that practices self-deception and shuts out the evidence of science. Religion diverts generous impulses and good intentions instead of saving souls. We should be saving the planet. Religion teaches helplessness by dependence upon God's help rather than political advocacy, and religion seeks to promote power and wealth, which harms society at large. And this just gives us some insight as to how many humanists think about towards religion. He went on to say, named by a sociologist named here by the name of Phil Zuckerman, he said, "Not a single advanced democracy that enjoys benign progressive social economic conditions retains a high level of popular religiosity." What he was saying here, that when people feel prosperous and secure, then the hold of religion begins to weaken. And I think we could honestly say this. We look at America's society today over the last several decades as America has prospered and people have enjoyed a good standard of living for the most part, that we can see that the strong sense of religion, the sense of the need of God, the place that the church has in our society has weakened, and as we have enjoyed more and more of prosperity of the things of this world here. And so this was, in this religious survey, gives us there some insight to that. But when it comes to the work of evangelism, we will meet people that will be indifferent. We will meet people that when we share our faith with others that will hate the very name of God or the house of God and will ridicule and scorn. And at times it can be discouraging because it's our heart's desire that they should truly come to know to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they should come to know God, that they would know the same joy, the same blessing that we have in our own Christian life. And so when we witness, to our co-workers, our neighbors, to those in our community. And for year after year, they reject the gospel at times. It can be discouraging and disheartening, but we need to continue to be faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called upon us to be the light and the salt of the earth, and it is God that saves the souls of people. But we are called upon to be the witness, and our lives are to be a living testimony to the things of Christ. And so let us encourage ourselves that it may be that you have prayed for a loved one or a friend, or you have labored here in your community for many years and it continues to be closed to the church here. Let me encourage you just to continue to seek to be faithful in being a witness to the Lord, knowing that it is only through Jesus Christ that a person can be saved. It's only through the redemption in which He has provided, the atonement by the shedding of His blood, there that a soul can be transformed into the grace of God. And we need to continue to be faithful in our witnessing for the Lord. Why are people so comfortable in their disbelief? Another reason is that because Satan has blinded and deceived the hearts of many. Reading here from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." As we seek to share our faith, we know that Satan will seek to do everything he can to hinder our witness. And Satan is, again, the great deceiver. Satan is not only exceptionally wicked, but he's terribly cruel. And Satan seeks to hinder the work of God. But praise God that we know that God's word will not return void as we seek to share our faith using God's word. Not necessarily relying upon our own argument, but using God's word and praying that it will become effectual. The Spirit of God will use the word of God to bring conviction and awareness of sin and need of God in the souls of people and they see that they need to be turned to God. They come and they're under Satan's attack there. Of course, a familiar passage there is in Ephesians chapter 6 there, and when we see the armor of God, but also being aware that when we seek to witness that we're involved in a spiritual warfare, that Satan and the world has a grip on people's heart. The fallen nature of mankind and Satan seeking to do all that he can to keep that seed from taking root into the heart. And we are aware of the parable of the sower, where as the seed was sowed, some fell upon good ground and it brought forth fruit, but others fell by the wayside and upon the stony ground. And the birds, the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And when we seek to witness, we need to be aware that people won't just hold out their arms and readily accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we need to be using the word of God. We need to be praying. We need to be aware that we're involved in a spiritual warfare, and we need God's help to give us wisdom and to use His word to bring conviction. And we need to pray that the Lord leads us to those seeking souls, those who are responsive to the gospel, those in whom God is working in their lives. I remember when I first came to Christ there, that through leading up through months up to the time in which I cried out to the Lord for my own salvation, here that God had brought numbers of people into my life that had been a witness to me, that they had shared their faith, that they had given me their testimony, and God was working in my heart. And as we seek to serve the Lord and seek to be a witness to the Lord, we need to continue to persevere in trying to be faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing that it's very seldom that a person is saved the very first time they hear the gospel. I'm sure if we heard the testimonies of God's people this evening, that we'd be amazed to see that how many times that they had heard the gospel, but they had rejected it. They had no place for God and no belief in God. And then God continued to work in their lives and to speak to their heart. And they cried out in faith for salvation. We need to persevere in our witness for the Lord and pray that God would but help us to be faithful in witnessing for His namesake there. And so there will be a different response to the gospel. Another reason why people are so comfortable in disbelief is because they have defined their own sense of morality, and their thinking is far from God. When we first, right before we came back to the States here, there on the High Street in Edinburgh, we were coming back, and we were on the bus there. We were involved in a conversation with a young man, and he said, "I'll define the tools of my own life, and I will not have God tell me how to live. I will not have God tell me how to live. I'll not tell God what kind of music I can listen to. I will not have God tell me what kind of moral values I should have. I won't have God tell me that there's a divine being and that I'm some way accountable to Him." The world is in rebellion against God, and they're shaking their fist at God, and they're saying, "I will not have God tell me how to live." And as we witness, we will come across those that are hardened in their heart towards the things of God. And they're bitter, and they're lovers of the things of this world. But we need to continue to witness to them, knowing that they're in need of genuine conversion. Not just simply a matter of transformation or just having a changed lifestyle, but their need of genuine conversion by the grace of God, knowing that it is a spiritual work that we're involved in. Going back and underscoring the fact of how we are needed as we seek to witness, that how we need to pray and ask God to use us in His work. That the Spirit of God would use His Word, and God would lead us to those souls that are seeking for the truth, and also being a witness against the people. In our mission work there, we have realized that through the years, a great part of our ministry is not just simply seeing souls saved, but we are a witness against the unrighteousness of the nation. We are a witness against people as we witness to them and share our faith and try to exhort them and encourage them to turn to Christ. And as they reject God, that witness bears witness against them. And we often don't think about that when we are involved in the work of evangelism. We're more conscious about the fact that we want to see souls saved and we want to see lives changed by the grace of God. But sometimes God uses us there to bear witness against a person. And it's there as if somebody is there pointing their finger in our face and saying, "Oh, thou fool," because we disbelieve in God. But lastly, why are people so comfortable in their disbelief? There are many reasons. Obviously, pride is one of the great reasons why people fail to turn to God, because of their pride, their stubbornness, their unwillingness to recognize that they're a sinner before a holy and righteous God. And so in their spirit of rebellion, they continue to shake their fist at God and to reject the witness of God and God's love towards them as God seeks to compel them and minister to them in their need of salvation. And I'm sure this evening that there are many other reasons, and there will be some that you will be able to think of, maybe from experience as you have gone around and you have witnessed to others, and you've experienced as their response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God calls upon us just simply to be faithful. And that is the task that God has given to each and every one of us. In His great and in His providence where He has placed us, He has placed us there as a light and as a witness. And we need to pray that God would use us for His honor and glory. We need to realize that we're involved in a spiritual warfare and that we need God's leading and His empowerment and to God to use us in His service there. And I trust that would be the real vision of your heart, of seeing that the world is lost without Christ, and that time is short, and that we need to continue to witness, we need to continue to share our faith, we need to continue to respond there to the great truth that the saving grace of God can change lives. And God is allowed us to have a wonderful part in that. And he expects us to be faithful there. Pastor McKnight, thank you for letting us come. And we do appreciate it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Landon. And I would ask for you and Mrs. Landon, if you would find your way back to the foyer of the church and be there to meet people as they leave. And I encourage you to stop and look at the items on the table and get better acquainted with these servants of the Lord. We have, most of us, been reared in a country that was established with something of a Christian core to the culture and to the value system. And it's been our native experience, even before conversion, to live in a situation where church and Christianity were at least somewhat valued within the culture. We see that fading and failing around us. But as I hear our brother this evening speak out of his experience there in Scotland and recognize the hostility toward the gospel that in most parts of the world is now the norm, the people who believe such as we do, or such as has been the cultural belief of this country, are the extreme, tiny, and despised minority. As I think of all of that and recognize that unless God intervenes, it's coming here, and coming here very, very fast, and perhaps is already here in manifestations we don't know because we're enclosed in a little church bubble of sorts. But in the face of that, how can we have an effective witness? How can we take the word of God forth and see a difference made and see it received? And the only answer I know is that there must be a powerful intervention by God himself. Only he can break the stony heart. Only he can cultivate the stony soil and make it receptive of the seed. And how much more all of us need to engage in crying out unto him that he would move in might and power, first of all, in our own hearts, which are so prone to coldness and hardness, and then through us in the hearts of many others, that he might manifest the great king rights of Jesus Christ and exhibit the glories of his kingdom in calling souls unto himself. So may we be faithful in praying and going, and may we consider this evening the fact that apart from Christ and the power of God, we can do nothing. Without me, he says, ye can do nothing. May we see that more so than ever before. Well, let's stand together as we pray. Shall we bow? Our God and our Father, may thy blessing and anointing rest mightily upon our brother and sister in the field of service to which they are called to render thankless labors upon people who are hardened against the gospel. O Lord, we fear that some of that hardness is indeed the evidence of the wrath of God upon those who have turned from the truth, who have chosen to hold down the truth in their unrighteousness, and thus they've been given over to their own delusion and deception, and ultimately unto damnation. Lord, will you bless our brother and sister in that land with an unusual and rich anointing? May they know the power of the Spirit of God upon them and within them. And will you give to your word a mighty voice through them to pierce the night of darkness that blinds so many hearts, and to break the hardness of those stone-hard and stone-cold hearts, that they might be brought unto Christ. Bless their labors, and may the report we've received tonight challenge each of us unto faithfulness in praying for the progress of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, faithfulness in ministering thy truth, in bearing a witness and faithfully holding forth the light of the gospel. O Lord, make us effective. Make us the salt of the earth. work thy great purposes through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.